Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. And we are just so thankful to God for his goodness and his mercy. God has lengthened out the fragile fabric of our lives. And as my brother likes to say, and cause our golden moments to roll on just a little bit further. And for that, certainly, we are eternally grateful. Today has been a great day. God woke me up this morning, looked in the mirror and knew who I was looking at. That's a good day. Yeah. Just keep on living and you'll learn to appreciate the small things. Despise not the day of little or small things, because small things add up to become larger things. Say amen if you can. And the older you get, the more you learn to appreciate just being able to get out of the bed. Amen. Put one foot in front of the other. Walk like you're going somewhere. Amen. Amen. We've had a great day today. And in addition to those things that we like to call small, we had great hospitality extended to us this day by your evangelist, the man of God here at Sandy Lane, Brother Joseph H. Brown. He is such a great host, so hospitable. He sometimes makes you think he's working for the Chamber of Commerce here in Richmond. He's proud to be in Richmond, and he's proud to be at Sandy Lane. And you ought to thank God for a man who is proud to be your preacher. And so we had a wonderful time today. We went and toured some areas of the city, and also I had a delectable meal together. He and I both are fond of Oriental food, especially Chinese food. Yeah. Y'all like Chinese food? You can get a whole lot of it, you know. Yeah, where we went, you can go back as many times as you want to. Yeah, you can go back as many times as you want to. Of course, you have to be careful now. You don't want to commit no transgressions. But we had a marvelous time today, and God is just so good. He orchestrates every moment of your day. Did you know that God orchestrates every moment of your day? Reminded of the man who had to have his annual physical done. And in addition to that, he was applying for a pretty sizable life insurance policy. And so, you know, they make you go and take one of them extensive exams. And the doctor was asking him a number of questions. And he said, have you ever had any serious accidents? He said, no, don't think I ever had any serious accidents. He said, I got kicked by a mule one time. Doctor said, I thought you say you didn't ever, you haven't had it. He said, that wasn't no accident. He meant to do it. Yeah, he did it on purpose. Yeah, and God has brought us back here on purpose. God is a God of purpose, and it's so good to be here and see all of you that are here on this evening. And I know you've come to hear whether or not there is a word from the Lord. I'm impressed with Sandy Lane. There's about as many of you here tonight as it was on yesterday afternoon. And I don't know, it's approaching the numbers that might have been. I don't know. I'm not taking account. I'm just standing up here. But I am impressed with the number of you who've come back tonight to hear the gospel, the word of God. I wish we had more people in every place I go that were so hungry and thirsty for the word of God. And if that's the truth, why don't you stand on your feet? Stand on your feet and turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John, one of the little John books in your Bible, 1 John. and chapter 4. And I want to read three verses from 1 John chapter 4. And then we're going to turn over to 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to read four verses beginning at verse number 6. Now, before, lest I confuse you, 1 John 4 at verse number 1. If you have it, say amen. If you believe the Bible is the word of God, say amen again. Amen. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Now turn quickly, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Thus concludes the reading of the announced scripture from these two passages. Think with me tonight on the subject, handling fake news and false allegations. Amen. You may be seated. Handling fake news and false allegations. In a world where there seems to be a proliferation of fake news and false reporting, it is becoming increasingly important to have reliable sources of information. Where foundational institutions of freedom and democracy are concerned, it's absolutely critical that we be able to safeguard those institutions from being undermined and destroyed. If people can't judge what's true or false, they become victim of the enemy's effort to defeat them and to turn them to his own purpose. There are foreign powers in the world who are opposed to our way of life. They're opposed to the principles of freedom and justice, freedom of worship according, freedom to worship according to the Bible, and one's own conscience. They are opposed to democracy and people having a right to determine their own future. The greatest weapon we have against being enslaved and exploited is a free and independent press that will keep various branches of government in check by reporting what they do without bias and without distortion. However, when the media itself becomes the source of fake news and false reporting, we are all in serious trouble. When those in the media have an agenda that they want to advance, when the media chooses sides in the political discourse and starts making up stories that are not true, then everything we cherish and love about America is in danger. What America needs is some source that will be a faithful and reliable witness to what is really going on. Congress and the Senate are trying to find witnesses as we speak. who would testify to the truth in the so-called illegal surveillance accusations and in the Russian collusion accusations. They're looking for reliable witnesses who will tell the truth and nothing but the truth. But I come to tell you, even though that's maybe on many of our minds in the national discourse, I want you to understand there is a much more serious situation in our text whose consequences are far more serious, far more far-reaching than whether or not Russia tried to influence our presidential election. There is a conspiracy on the part of the devil to interfere with your calling and your election. Say amen if you can. Peter said, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. And in this first letter to the scattered and persecuted saints of God, Peter, in his first letter to the scattered and persecuted saints of God, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Peter says, you're not at his mercy. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Not only does Peter warn us about an enemy who's trying to take away our freedom and undermine our election, he says, Jesus says, the devil comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. In the text I just read in 1 John chapter 4 and also in chapter 5, John is refuting fake news and false allegations that Jesus did not come in the flesh, that he was not who he said he was. Of course, if he was not who and what he claimed to be, then men are hopelessly lost in their sins. But John assures us that the testimony that they have been given is not fake news, but it's good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1 and verse number 1, John says, that was from the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Jesus was not a phantom. He was not an aberration. John says he was real. He was real flesh and blood. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. John says not only that, but we have not that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And then John says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Don't let fake news and false allegations steal your joy. Because we have three impeachable, impeccable, and totally reliable witnesses to all the facts concerning Jesus Christ. The investigation has been done. The verdict has already been rendered. Heaven itself has testified. And all you need to do is accept the testimony. And I come to tell you, the antidote to fake news is faith news. I think I said something. The antidote to fake news is faith news, F-A-I-T-H news. You see, in our text, John asserts that Jesus, in fact, has witnesses in heaven and he has witnesses in the earth, and three are in heaven and three on the earth, and not only that, they all agree as one. Doesn't get any better than that. I said, don't get no better than that. Now notice John's line of reasoning. Notice his line of reasoning. This is how John sets this thing up. As we go back to 1 John 5 and verse number 4, John says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The antidote to fake news is faith news. Now watch this. He says in verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. John is saying the way you know that Jesus is who he said he was is, number one, because of the water. You see, the water is a witness. And if he had not come by water, you would have known that this Jesus was an imposter. But because he came by the water, you got to believe the witness of the water. I know that may sound a little strange to you, but we have to adjust our concepts to the Bible's concepts. And if the Bible says water was a reliable witness and you can plant your feet on that particular testimony, then that's where we need to stand. John said, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come, baptizing with water. The record said Jesus came unto John to be baptized of him in the river Jordan. Y'all remember that? I'm trying to show you this water witness now. He was baptized not to fulfill, not because he needed to be made righteous, but he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was sinless. He committed no sin. And so baptizing Jesus was not for the remission of his sins. He didn't have any sin. Well, somebody said, well, why was he baptized then? He was baptized to establish a pattern for us to follow. And anyone who suggests that Jesus has sinned is spreading fake news and false allegations. And don't you think that some folk ain't trying to besmirch the name of my Jesus. I heard somebody say, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves, that Jesus had a girlfriend named Mary Magdalene. Don't you believe that? Don't you let nobody suggest to you. And I'm not talking about somebody just walking up and down the street. I'm talking about on a CNN so-called documentary on Jesus and who he is. Don't you let nobody suggest to you that my Savior committed any sin. Because if he committed sin, then all of us are doomed. The Bible says, and always he was tempted even as we are, yet without sin. And I believe the witness of the Bible. John said when he came up out of that water, John said, I bore a record saying I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And John said in the 34th verse, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I said he came by water. Not by water only, the Bible says, but by water and blood. Now, he's not suggesting that the water and the blood were both present at the baptism of Jesus. At the baptism of Jesus, there was water and there was the Spirit. Come on, Bible readers. So what he's doing here is pointing to two separate events. The first event represented by the water, which was the baptism of Jesus. The second event is represented by the blood, which points to the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. Both are powerful witnesses to the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. Don't you remember the Bible says they crucified him on a hill called Calvary? Well, the Bible called it Golgotha also. The Bible says, now from the sixth hour, don't you remember that fateful scene? The Bible says there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried, with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Bible says some of them that stood there when they heard that, the Bible says they straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And they said, the rest said, let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus, the Bible says, when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And when he yielded up the ghost, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Am I right about it? The Bible says the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many that slept in the grave came out of the grave after his resurrection and walked down the streets of Jerusalem. And the Bible says now the centurion was stood by when he saw the earthquake and those things that were done. He said, surely, surely this was the Son of God. So at the Jordan River, there was a witness. It was the water. On the ridge of Calvary, there was a witness, and it was the blood. After he died, the Bible says a soldier pierced him in the side, and out therewith came, the Bible said, blood and water. Am I right about it? We got blood as a witness. We got water as a witness. Water for the cleansing of our sins. I'm sorry, blood for the cleansing of our sins. So John continues, and he says in chapter 5, he says in verse 7, he says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice the Word is capitalized. That is, Word is capitalized. W is capitalized. That's John's way of referring to Jesus. Am I right about it? In John chapter, I got some Bible readers in here. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, even that of the Son of God. Now, the only begotten of God. Three witnesses. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and these three are one. And there are three, he goes on to say, that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So Jesus had the witnesses of those in heaven, and he had the witness of things on the earth. Now let's examine these witnesses a little bit closer. See if we can extract some lessons for our learning and some comfort for our hope. And let's look at the heavenly witnesses and then the earthly witnesses, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father. Let's look at the Father now on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. The Bible says there was some fake news. Come on, Bible readers. There was some fake news on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. The Bible says when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he began to ask his disciples, saying, who do men say? Y'all see the fake news? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say, some say that thou art Jeremiah, or rather John the Baptist. Some say thou art Elias, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter offers some faith news. The best antidote to fake news is faith news. Well, why you say faith news, brother? Well, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, how is that faith news? Because Jesus chimed in and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. Yeah. You didn't get this from the grapevine. You didn't get this from the USA Today. You didn't get it from the Richmond paper. You got it from heaven, and faith coming by hearing the word of God. Faith news beats fake news all day long. You can't get caught up in some say. You can't get caught up in hearsay. If you want a reliable witness about Jesus, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. What does the Father say about him? The Father says he is the Christ. The Father says he is the living Son of the living God. He's not just another prophet or some famous holy man. That's fake news and false allegations. You hear it all the time. I heard Muhammad, when he was alive, talking about Jesus as just one of the prophets. One of Jehovah's prophets. No, he said one of Allah's prophets. Jesus is not Allah's prophet. Allah ain't Jehovah. Come on, somebody. Allah ain't Jehovah. When you want to look at the attributes of Jehovah, he doesn't have the same attributes as this so-called Allah. Y'all scared up in here. Jesus was not just a prophet. He was that prophet about whom all the prophets prophesied. He was that prophet that they were waiting to see. Oh, praise the mighty name of Jesus. Not only that, he's the Son of God. God makes him, when they say Son of God, I want you to know, that makes him divine just like his Father. He is God with us. He's the only prophet that ever walked on the face of this earth and claimed to have the same nature as his Father. Muhammad never claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be God. That makes him unique among the prophets. He's not a prophet. He's that prophet. Peace, Butler. Hi. Yeah. He's God with us. He speaks with authority. And he says, upon this rock, he says, I'm going to build my church. Upon this rock, the truth that you just spoke, Peter, I'm going to build my church. What truth is that? I am the Son of God. And I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Every man who thinks about building a church has to pass a credentials check. I said, you have to pass a credentials check. He has to have heaven's endorsement. Only Jesus can say I was endorsed by heaven. I got the witness not only of the water, but I got witness of the blood. And I've got witness of the Holy Spirit. And I've got the witness of the Father. And the Father says, blessed, Jesus said rather, the Father revealed it unto you. So I've got a reliable witness. And I'm not just telling you who I am, but I've got some witnesses that are witness and testify that I am who I said I was. On the mountain of transfiguration, Peter got excited. Come on, Church of Christ. Y'all know where I'm going with that. And he said, let us build here three tabernacles. Didn't he get excited? Lord, it's good for us to be here. If I will, let us build three tabernacles. God overruled him and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Moses was a great lawgiver, but he couldn't get heaven's endorsement to have a church built in his name. Heaven said no. Elijah was a great prophet. Am I right about it? You remember Mount Carmel? Ain't got time and you ain't either. But you remember he was a great prophet. But heaven said no to that suggestion. Black cloud overshadowed them. And that voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I well please. You got to hear him. Listen, Jesus had the witness of the Father that he is the Son of God. That he is the only one qualified to build a church that will withstand the gates of hell. Not only was the Father a witness, am I taking y'all too fast? Not only was the Father a witness, but it says the Word was a witness. And that's a capital W, so you know who that in that refers to. You have the incarnate Word. That's Jesus, who is Jesus, who is the Word. And you have the inspired Word, which is the written Word of God. Jesus was his own witness. But if you are the only witness that you got, you don't have a strong case. I said, if you're the only witness you got, you ain't got a strong. Listen to what Jesus says in John 5 and verse number 31. Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witness of me is true. If you're your own witness, you don't have a strong case. As a matter of fact, Jesus says your witness ain't true. If you're the only one witnessing about who you are and what you got and what you can do, you don't even have a case. Somebody ought to say amen. We ought to stop taking people at face value when they tell us they saw something, heard something, and God said this to me. Man, where's your witness? Where's your witness? If you don't have a witness, you don't have a case. You know, some people like that, the only witness they got is themselves. I just feel. You're going by their own feelings and their own ideas. But Jesus didn't rely on just his own witness. He had the witness of the Father, witness of the Word, the incarnate Word, and the inspired Word, which is the Holy Scriptures. Paul said, all Scripture. Am I giving y'all too much Bible tonight? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Not only that, Peter said, holy men of God spake. Come on, help me out. Spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, if there's no witness in the Word, if it can't be corroborated by faith news, then it's fake news. And every claim is a false accusation. Or I should say allegation. How's that? Jesus entered the synagogue in Nazareth. You remember in Luke chapter 4? He stood up to read and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Bible says, then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the Bible says, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm trying to show you he had a witness. And he had a witness in the Word of God. In other words, I'm the one Isaiah was talking about. And today this scripture is fulfilled as you listen and as you hear me read it to you and hear it, read it rather, in your hearing right now. He said, I've got a witness from the Father. I've got a witness in the written Word of God. Don't you remember? After his resurrection, the Bible said he was on the Emmaus Road. Come on, read your Bible now. Luke 24. He was on the Emmaus Road. And the Bible says the resurrected Jesus encountered some disciples. And the Bible lets us know that they were the victims of inaccurate news analysis. I said they were a victim of inaccurate news analysis. They had all the facts, but they didn't properly interpret the facts, and they didn't draw the right conclusion. If you read in your Bible and look in Luke 24 and verse 17, they were depressed. And one way you know you're not getting, or you know you are getting fake news, or you are the victim of a faulty analysis of the news, is that it makes you depressed. It robs you of your hope. Let me tell you, the gospel is good news. That's what gospel means. It means good news. It means glad tidings of great joy. And when you're a child of God, the good news is the bad news is a lie. I said, when you're a child of God, the good news is, the bad news ain't nothing but a lie. Mama used to say, the devil ain't nothing but a lie. You ain't nothing but a liar, devil. Listen, it's amazing how some preachers manage to turn the gospel into bad news. I ain't talking about your preacher, but there's some out there, they can turn the good news into bad news. And when they're done preaching, everybody's depressed. Let me hurry on. The Bible says, I don't want you to forget, we're on the Emmaus Road. And Jesus encounters two disciples who are the victim of bad analysis and improper and inaccurate analysis of the news. I said they had the facts, but they didn't have the proper interpretation of the fact. Look at it in verse 17. The Bible says, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Jesus of Nazareth was a prophet. They said, mighty in deeds and in words before God and the people. And our rulers condemned him to death and crucified him. They're trying to explain why they are depressed. Verse 21, it says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Well, why are they mentioning the third day? Because they had heard Jesus say, tear down this temple and I'll raise it again the third day. And so they had all the facts, but they had the wrong interpretation and analysis of the fact. In other words, we thought we was going to redeem Israel, but it didn't happen. Well, it did happen. They were the victims of misconceptions about the nature of his kingdom and the kind of redemption he came to bring. They were getting their news from the grapevine instead of from the word of God. He didn't come to restore an earthly reign to Israel. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman government by military power. He came to redeem man from their sin. And I think the church needs to keep that in mind. I'm seeing here and there where they're having these conferences on social justice and involving church folk in such conferences. You need to get you. Wait a minute now. I ain't never seen Jesus walking down the street with no protest sign. Hey, man, somebody. Let me tell you something. Jesus, his plan to redeem and bring about social justice is to convert one person at a time and have him walk in his footsteps, loving and being the kind of person that he ought to be. And when that happens, you will transform society. I had you, but I lost you then, didn't I? Uh-huh. But here's another fake news alert. He didn't come to deliver you from every trial and temptation in life. Amen, somebody. He didn't come to deliver you from every heartache and every disappointment. He came so that you wouldn't have to bear your heartaches all by yourself. Y'all can't shout on the good news, can you? Uh-huh. You say, well, I thought he came to take away all my problems. No. He didn't come to take away all your problems. Jesus said, the world hated me, it's going to hate you too. But don't you despair. Fear not, because I have overcome the world. And the thing that helps you overcome the world is not fake news, but it's faith news. Your faith is so... Come on, somebody. Yeah. The cure for their depression was standing right in front of them. But their eyes were blinded to who he was. In verse 25, the Bible says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. See, there's your problem. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And the Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Do you know the first five books of the Bible written by Moses? Uh-huh. So beginning at Genesis. Are you following this narrative here? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they went on their way, the Bible says they invited Jesus to tarry with them. And as they sat at meat, Jesus broke bread with them. And the Bible says, and their eyes were opened. And they recognized who he was. Jesus then immediately vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us along the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures. Fake news, false allegations will put your fire out, but the word of God will be like a fire shut up in your bones. It'll reignite the fire in your heart and give you the heartburn of eternal hope. Somebody ought to say amen. Yeah, fake news will put out your fire. Uh-huh. Jesus has the witness of the Father. The witness of the inspired word. But there was one more witness on earth. And that was the witness of the Spirit. In John chapter 1, at the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit descended in the form of a dove. John said, God told me that on whom I saw the Spirit descend, in the form of a dove, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He said, I saw it, and now I'm able to testify that he is the Son of God. Jesus had the witness of heaven. He had the Father. He had the Word and the Spirit. Now, how many of you know that as sons of God, we must have the same witnesses? I said, as sons of God, we must have the same witnesses. Get for me. Well, for the sake of time, Romans 8 and verse 16, write it down. Romans 8 and verse 16, none of us can expect a dove to come down. Amen, somebody. And light on our heads, but we can expect to have the Spirit as a witness that we are sons of God. The Bible says in verse 16, the Spirit, this is the American Standard Version, it says the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you're a child of God, if you are a member of God's forever family, the only way that you can really, really have confidence that what you believe is the truth is that you have to have the witness of the Spirit. And while I'm going through here, I might as well clear up a popular misconception while I'm passing through here. The Bible says he witnesses with our spirit. Is that in your Bible? Y'all ain't saying nothing. He witnesses with our spirit that we are sons of God. Now watch this. He does not witness in our spirits. I said he doesn't witness in our spirits. He witnesses with our spirits. All right, preacher, what are you trying to say? You see, you don't get a tingly feeling all over. You don't get some pre-dawn premonition deep down in your conscious or subconscious. It's objective and it's based on empirical, pragmatic, practical evidence. I'm trying to keep you from falling for the idea that you should just trust your feelings about whether or not you are saved. Well, how does the Spirit witness with our spirits? Well, first of all, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit witnesses or testifies in the Word of God. I says he testifies in the Word of God. Amen, somebody. The Holy Spirit doesn't grab you by the nape of your neck and shake you and give you the shake, rattle, and roll. That ain't what the Holy Spirit does. If you want a testimony from the Holy Spirit, you got to open the book and read what the Holy Spirit wrote. Now, if you know the testimony, listen, his deposition is recorded in the Bible. I'm talking about witnesses, so let me use that kind of language. If you want a deposition from the Holy Spirit, his deposition is in the Bible. Jesus proved his authenticity by the Word, and you'll have to do the same thing. He stood up for to read, and he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He didn't come just by what he said, but he always said, it is written concerning me. All right, go to Hebrews 10 and verse number 15. I know some of us think that we just get this feeling about I'm a child of God. But if you've been in the Lord's church, you know better than that. You know you don't just get a feeling and say, I'm a child of God. How you know a child of God? I just feel it in my heart, honey. No, that ain't how you know. You need a witness. You need a more reliable witness. You need somebody to witness with your spirit. Come on, somebody. Hebrews 10 and verse 15. The Bible says, and the Holy Spirit also beareth witness. Now watch this. To us. You see that? He bears witness to us, not in us, but to us. Some of y'all, come on now. Don't make me spend all night here. In the NIV, the NIV says he testifies to us. Same thing. Y'all get that? For after he has said, look at the text, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness with to us. For after he has said. After the Holy Spirit has said. Now, and what did he say? In verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts, and upon their minds also will I write them. Y'all see that? Okay, who is he giving? Who is giving this testimony? Well, the Holy Spirit is giving this testimony. Now, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. You said the Holy Spirit gave that testimony. Well, I thought that was written in Jeremiah. Some of y'all recognize this in Jeremiah, didn't you? Isn't it in Jeremiah? Somebody said Jeremiah 31 and verse number 34. The Hebrew writer read that in the book of Jeremiah, but he said the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. He read it in the Bible in Jeremiah, and he said the Holy Spirit is a witness to us. Well, now, wait a minute. Is that Jeremiah witnessing? No, that's the Holy Spirit witnessing to us. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us, not in us. Okay. I don't know if I convinced very many people here tonight. But let me tell you, that's how the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. And that's how he witnesses with us today. What? How, Butler? Through the testimony that is written in the Word of God. He's not witnessing in us. He's witnessing in the Word. He's witnessing and testifying to us and with us in the Word. Now, he only witnesses with us when what we testify agrees with what he has already testified. I think I said something there. Listen, if what we testify does not agree with what he has already testified to, he is testifying against us and not with us. Somebody says, I just feel in my heart that I'm a child of God. Well, that's not how you determine that. I hear the Holy Spirit testifying in the Word. In Proverbs 28 and verse number 26. He testifies against such nonsense. When someone says, I just feel in my heart that I'm a child of God. That's nonsense. That's false stuff. That's fake news. Proverbs 28 and 26. The Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart. Come on, church. Is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Listen, we have to walk in the light of God's word if we want to be delivered. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. Listen to the testimony of the Holy Spirit in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Don't walk around here talking about your heart told you something, because your heart will lie to you. Say amen if you can. Your heart will mislead you. Your heart will deceive you. Come on, honey. Somebody, you ever fell in love with somebody and you say, well, okay. Y'all want to be like that. Uh-huh. But the Bible says, not only is it deceitful above all things, it says, and it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? He's talking about the unregenerated heart. Now, when you trust in your feelings to know if you are a child of God, you are setting yourself up to receiving fake news from your own heart. How many of you know a man's ways is right in his own eyes? But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the ends thereof are the ways of death. There are three to testify in heaven. I'm almost finished. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit testifies through the Word, which he has inspired men to write. But then John says there are three that testify in the earth. John says they are the Spirit, water, and blood. Now, I want you to get off track. I'm telling you that the same witnesses that Jesus had are the same witnesses that you have to have. Amen, somebody. The Bible lets us know that the Spirit leads in the parade of earthly witnesses. His role is to convince the child of God that he is a child of God. But he convinces him not through some better felt than told experience, but he convinces him through the Word of God. How do I know I got the Spirit? Because the Bible says, if I be baptized, I will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I might not feel it, but I know I got it. And the way I know I got it is because the Bible says I have it. Bible says that God the Father dwells in me. I don't see him, I don't feel him, but the Bible says he dwells in me by faith, and I believe he dwells in me by faith. Holy Spirit convinces us by the word that we are a child of God. He also has another role, and that is to convict the sinner of sin. Not only of sin, but of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. That's in John chapter 16. But have you been convinced? Have you been convinced by the evidence? Or have you been convicted? The Holy Spirit will either convince you by the evidence that you are a child of God, or he will convict you so that you know that you ain't no child of God. Amen, somebody. If you're a child of God, there ought to be some fruits produced by repentance. Say amen if you can. If you are a child of God, there ought to be the fruit of the Spirit in your life. If you're saved, you ought to act like you're saved. All right, y'all were saying amen a minute ago. The old folk used to talk about falling out with the angry ways of sin. And when you've been convicted, you fall out with the angry ways of sin. You ain't got nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. When the conviction of the Spirit is on you, I wish I had just two people. I don't need all of you. I need two people to just say amen or raise your hand. You see, when you come to that point where some preaching was done and it convicted you, well, what preaching was done? The preaching from the Word that is written by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, and when you're under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you'll feel like you ain't got nowhere to run. Let me tell you, those old arguments and old tired arguments and excuses don't work anymore. And all of a sudden it feels like time is running out. I feel like hell is closing in on you. Can I get a witness there? Anybody been there? Anybody done that? Well, Felix in Acts chapter 24, you remember, if he was here, he'll tell you, it makes you tremble when the Holy Spirit is a witness for the prosecution. When the Holy Spirit uses the sword of the Spirit to probe deep within your being, cuts away at the dead flesh of your callous heart, and the cataracts of delusion fall from your eyes, you finally discover that you are suspended by a fragile thread of grace and mercy over a fiery pit of hell and destruction, and it can make you tremble. Jesus told his disciples, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him unto you. And he, when he is come, Jesus said, will convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you behold me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. But I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit tells me that I don't have to suffer condemnation. I'm convinced by the Word of God. I asked you just a while ago, are you convinced or are you convicted? But I'm a child of God, and I am not convicted, I am convinced. I've been convicted, but I've gotten past convicted, because convicted led me to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And since I've obeyed the gospel, I am convinced that I will not suffer condemnation if I'm in Christ. If I'm in Christ walking after the Spirit, I don't have to worry about condemnation. I believed what the Holy Spirit said some 55 years ago. And I came crying just like the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what must I do? The preacher said, repent and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Listen, you got to come by the water just like Christ had to come by the water. And let me just tell you this. If anyone comes today claiming that they are a child of God and have not come through the water, they are filing fake news, and the Holy Ghost testifies against them. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have you been to the water tonight? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Some of you have been baptized. I dare say, I hope nobody's in this audience that this applies to. But back at home, I just recently baptized personally about 5 people in personal Bible studies. And one of them told me they were baptized as an outward show of inward grace. But that baptism, I've come to tell you, won't save you. If you've been baptized as an outward show of inward grace, you've been ruined. You haven't been redeemed. You don't come to the water already saved, already a child of God. It was when Jesus came up after being immersed that the Father acknowledged him as his son. And that's the pattern that we have to follow. No. It's on the other side of the water that you declared to be a son of God. And if when you come up out of the water, that's the time when the rejoicing is done. Am I right about it? I wonder if I can get a witness here. I'm trying to hurry to my seat. But in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch said, he see here in the water. Did y'all read that? What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, then thou mayest. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He had to do that because that gave him the right to become the Son of God. Am I right about it? Jesus says, John says in John chapter 1, that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he right to become the sons of God, as many as believed on him. Listen, when you believe on him, it gives you the right to become a son of God. It didn't make you a son of God. It simply gives you the privilege, the opportunity, and the right to become a child of God. The eunuch said, see here with water, what to hinder me to be baptized? And then he made that noble confession. And the Bible says they commanded the chariot to stand still. Y'all remember that, don't you? And the Bible says they both went down into the water. He didn't get him down there and pour no water on his head. Didn't get him down there and start sprinkling him. I saw a documentary on TV some years ago. John the Baptist took Jesus out into the middle of the Jordan River, reached down and got a handful of water and poured it on his head. I said, Lord have mercy. How can you just mess up a passage so plain? John baptized him in the water. And the Bible says when he come up out of the water, Bible said the Spirit descended. The Bible said the Ethiopian eunuch of Philip went down into the water. How much water do you need? Somebody said a drop of water is as good as an ocean. Don't you believe that? You can't be baptized in a drop of water. You can't go down into a drop of water. You got to have enough water to go down into the water. You got to have enough water for two men to go down in the water. And when you get down in the water, you got to come up out of the water. Say amen if they can. And the Bible said the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why is he rejoicing? On the other side of the water. Because on the other side of the water is where salvation is. Oh, let me go on and close this thing. The blood was a witness. The blood was a witness. Even when I was baptized. I said the blood was a witness. Let me get away from that because if I don't, I'll be up here all night. Yeah. Let me just tell you that not only do I have the witness of the Spirit, because I can go into the Bible and verify everything that somebody's told me in terms of my, if they told me the truth, in terms of my privileges and what I received when I became a child of God. That's a witness of the Spirit. And the witness of the water is that I went down in the water. I came up out of the water. Wouldn't somebody say, well, what about the witness of the blood? Well, when I went in the water, I contacted the blood. Amen, somebody. Somebody said, that sounds awful mysterious. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how could we could be that dead to sin continue any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of you have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? When I was baptized into his death, I was baptized into that place and under that circumstance under which he shed his precious blood. Am I right about it? He hung on that cross, pierced in the side. Out of the side came blood and water. Am I right about it? I was in a debate with my brother. My brother was doing debate up there in New Jersey, and I was reading for him. And he was debating this Baptist preacher. And the Baptist preacher raised the issue about water. I mean, water can't save nobody. And he started talking about the thief. And talking about the thief on the cross. And he talking about wasn't no water up there on Calvary's Hill. Wasn't no water up there on Calvary's Hill. That thief was saved without baptism. Wasn't no water up there on Calvary's Hill. My brother couldn't wait to get up. He got back up there and he said, "Now listen, get from it." He said, "Pierced him in the side, and out of the side came blood and water. Water was with the blood, and water is with the blood right now." Somebody ought to say amen. You got to get in the water to contact the blood. Because it was in his death that he shed his blood. And we vicariously are able to share in his death. That means that when he hung on that cross, I hung on the cross vicariously with him. Say amen if you can. When his blood was shed, I contacted the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, I enjoy the privileges of being a child of God. Yeah. Don't let nobody give you fake news and make false allegations concerning what salvation is all about. Don't get hung up in what some say and what people are saying on the grapevine. You need to open the Word. Find the place and read it to give yourself assurance of your salvation. If you're here tonight, you've been the victim of false news or fake news and false allegations. You need to make it right tonight. Fake news will undermine your confidence. It'll undermine your whole life and your whole paradigm in terms of what is right and what is wrong. And the reason that we get caught up in fake and false religion is because we hearken to fake news, but we need faith news. Yeah. We need faith news, and the Bible tells us in order to be saved, and I don't want to stretch this out. I get into another sermon. Let me tell you something. Faith news says you got to hear the gospel. That's what faith news says, because that's in the book. You got to hear the gospel, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins. Jesus says, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And so you have to repent, and you have to confess the sweetest name that ever graced mortal tongue. The Bible says, "For with the mouth, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." Your belief is unto. Your confession is unto. Repentance is unto. But the only way you can get from unto to into is you got to get in the water. Come on, somebody. "And do all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus." I can come unto the building. I can come unto the door. But until I open it and walk in, I am not into the building. Say amen, somebody. So I may believe all day, but that's unto. I might confess all day, but that's unto. I got to get into. Because into is where salvation is. And the only way you can get in is to be baptized in. Stand on your feet. There may be someone here tonight who needs Christ in the pardoning of their sins. You've heard what you need to do. There may be some other soul here who's been the victim of false news and fake allegations. But if you're saved by grace, if you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, you need to walk in the light. That is, walk by the Word of God. Hold the Word of God dear to you, more precious to you than your necessary meat. Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when you do that, you can make your landing safe. You can make your calling and your election sure. They blame Russia for undermining the election. We've got an enemy more powerful than Russia. Come on, somebody. And some of us are unduly concerned with stuff that we... let me leave that alone. Amen. I serve a God that orchestrates things. Do you not know when President Obama became president, it was by the will of God? Say amen if you can. When Trump became president, it was by the will of God. And those of us who are Christians still are under obligations to pray for those who are in authority. Y'all ain't looking right. You better read Romans chapter 13. I didn't get into it. Forgive me. Romans 13, we are to give honor. I said give honor. We are to respect and give honor to those who are in governmental authority. And if you want to please your Savior, you pray for him. Say amen if you can. God put him in there for a reason. And when he wrote that stuff, do you know who was ruling Rome? Caligula, Nero. Those folk were taking Christians and burning them and throwing them to the lions. But God still says, respect the man who is in authority. Pray for those. You mean I'm going to pray for Caligula? He just killed my grandmama. Pray for him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Sing the song. Let's sing the song. I got off into something else.
Free.
Come to Jesus if you need to come tonight.
You and me, let us haste.
Let us haste.
Oh, haste to the breeze.